Good morning. I want you to listen to these beautiful words as we begin to center ourselves and get ready for worship. Baptized in water and sealed by the Spirit, marked with the sign of Christ our King, and born of the Spirit, we are God's children, so joyfully now we can sing God's praise. No better place to be this Sunday morning than in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. One of those things you hate to announce, but you have to, and that is Cowboys are not going to the Super Bowl. However, Outreach Committee is still doing the Super Bowl, and so, Blair Garrett, where are you? Oh, my gosh. That scared me.
Can you hear me now? Very good. All right. So Super Bowl of Caring, we do this every year, and the theme is to tackle hunger. So today, over here on the left, you're going to be tackle. People on the right, y'all are going to be hunger, okay? What does this side say?
Tackle.
That's a penalty. Lack of excitement, 15 yards. All right, let's side over here. What are you going to say?
Tackle.
All right.
Oh, that's it, tackle.
All right, that's 5 yard penalty. Illegal procedure. Ready? Committee, we're actually going to go out into the community, and we're going to have this bag, or a bag similar to this, and we're going to take it to our neighbors. And on this bag, it will have instructions on what they're to do. You get the opportunity to take one of these bags home with you next Sunday. Okay, next Sunday, we will have bags ready for you to pick up. What do you do with these bags? Besides, you could say, I'm going to be the remember the saints used to put the bags over their heads because they didn't want to be a saint? We could do that for the Cowboys. But no, this is to fill up because we want you to put cans of food in these bags. What kind of cans of foods? Well, let's say something that would be nourishing, maybe not something that's real full of calories, but like peas and green. Yeah, M&M's probably not. I would like that, but no. Yeah. In the past, a lot of y'all have unloaded your cabinets at your home with canned goods that were maybe in date violation of back in 1926. So please check the dates because that will save us time because we would have to go through and organize what's good and what's not good because the food that you contribute, we're going to give it to the Pleasant Grove Food Pantry so the food stays right into our community, okay? And some of the stuff that we can use for our EPC Emergency Food Pantry, we're going to restock our shelves because our shelves are getting pretty bare. So pull top Vienna sausages, fruit, and stuff like that is what we normally put into our EPC Food Pantry. Okay, so dates coming up. January 19th is when we are going to deliver the bags to the neighborhood. If you would want to participate in that, let me or Denise Bennett know, and we're going to organize that Saturday. It's next Saturday. We're going to go into the community delivering these bags. Next Sunday, you will pick up your bags. Then on February 2nd, We're going to also go into the community again, and we're going to pick up the bags that we dropped off next Saturday, and then we're going to bring them back to the church. The same with you. You can bring your bags back any Sunday. So if you fill your bag up next Sunday, the following Sunday, bring them back to the church. We're going to have a receptacle back in the narthex. You can put them in there. Our ultimate goal, if it's okay with Pastor Sherry, is on Super Bowl Sunday, which is February 3rd, we want to put all the bags up here in front of our communion table, and that will be done during the offertory. Okay? And then the second Sunday, February 3rd. Then also, you can give money. So if everybody would, grab one of these right now from your pew. I want you to feel what it feels like. It's paper. It's an envelope. And you can put money in there. You can put coins or cash or checks. It really doesn't matter to me. It spends the same. We can buy a lot of canned goods for the food pantry with that. Or you can go online. Online, if you're an online giver already, go online and you can say in there, I'm going to donate money to the Super Bowl of Caring. Remember, Super Bowl is S-O-U-P-E-R. Okay? S-U-P-E-R. It's been so long, I don't even remember how to spell it. So, let's see. And if you're going to use a pew envelope, just write on there, Super Bowl of Caring, and we would appreciate it. And just remember, the Cowboys aren't in it, but we are in it. Right? So what does the left side say?
Cowboys.
Right side? All right. Let's play.
That one's hard to follow. Whew. Okay. First of all, for those of you who are visiting, we are glad that you are here. If you haven't been here for a while, we're more glad that you are here. What I want us to do right now is to be intentional about knowing one another, seeing who is sitting beside you. What I want you to do is take the pew pads that are at the end of the pews right now. Sign them. Pass them. Mark. If you are a member, if you are a visitor, if you are a repeat visitor, mark. If you would like to have someone come and talk to you about becoming part of this community of faith. At the end of the service, it's going to be really different today. If you have not looked at the end of your bulletin, I invite you to do that. We are going to try, led by the Spirit, to leave this sanctuary in silence today. So I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a minute to visit. Yes, we're taking quite a bit of time at the beginning of the service, but my sermon's really short today, so we're good. All right. But if you will notice, there are instructions. You don't have to participate in this. Strictly voluntary. But as I go through the sermon, as I go through instructions, it will become more clear. But if you notice, there are fonts of sorts that are along the aisles. There is a font at the end. We will do a reaffirmation of baptism service during the worship service. And then as you leave, you're invited to have a private moment. You don't have to gather and stand in front of the font for a long time. Just have prayer as you feel led. And if you feel led to go to the water, to take a shell, to be reminded that you are a beloved child of God, I invite you to do that. And as quietly as we can, to leave. You can gather outside and talk. You can gather down the hallway and talk. But just be aware that what I am praying this morning is that more than anything, we experience the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. Always here, but sometimes we don't experience. That's my prayer. So, stoles. Stoles are meant to be teaching tools. Darlene is wearing my Noah's Ark stole, which obviously with water is an incredibly wonderful symbol and a sign of God's promise. The stole that I am wearing this morning, Brandy made for me for Christmas. And it is a sign of the waters of baptism, the waters of life that we flow through, the ups, the downs, the curves. And so this morning, these are teaching tools. Remember, the pathway in your faith journey is not always easy, and it's not always straight, and sometimes it goes backwards, but it flows. It flows. And then, last but not least, in just a moment, we are going to take the time to pass the peace to one another after you have made sure you have signed the pads. We're going to do the peace because this is a congregation that loves to greet one another, and I don't want to take that experience away from you. Our prayers this morning, you see, I ask that we intentionally be in prayer for our country, for our leaders, for our world, for our church, and for Christ Church Universal. May the peace of the Lord be with you. Share that peace with one another, and I will call you back to worship. And let us gather back together with prayer. Most wonderful God, you have come from many separate directions together here.
Assist us
thank you.
Come, servants of God. Come, servants of love. Come, followers of Christ, baptized into this ministry together. Come, beloved ministers of God. You may be seated. Every week as we worship together, we have the opportunity to admit to ourselves, to each other, and to God that we do not always live as we are called. In this time of confession, this time of opening our hearts, let us remember that God is merciful and just, eager to offer grace and love. Let us pray together.
The one who created us, the one who shaped us, the one who continues shaping us throughout all of our lives says to us, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name, and you are mine." We are beloved children of God. We are forgiven. We are restored. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Calm us now, O Lord, into a quietness that heals and listens. May your Spirit rest upon us as we turn to your word for us. Be in our hearing, our speaking, our believing, and our living. Amen. The Old Testament lesson this morning is taken from Isaiah Chapter 43, 1 through 7. The waters were a symbol of trial and tribulation, a boundary to be crossed, perhaps the Red Sea or the Jordan River in ancient times. For Christians, we see the waters of baptism as our connection to Christ's death and our rising to the gift of new life through the hope of resurrection. Listen for the word of God. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made.
Gospel lesson this morning is from Luke, the third chapter, verses 15 through 17, and then we skip just a little bit of the pericope and move on to the baptism of Jesus, according to Luke, in verses 21 and 22. The gospel lesson proclaims that John the Baptist is the one who was baptized as well as baptizing Jesus. And as we celebrate today, Jesus' baptism, we're reminded that God is doing a new thing. Today, we do a new thing. We enter or we exit in silence. Jesus' baptism becomes a symbol. It's not some sort of ritual cleaning that they had to do with the old law. It is now about a renewed life and the promise of eternal life. So listen for the word of the Lord. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming, and I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear this threshing floor and to gather the wheat into its granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus had also been baptized, and Jesus was praying, the heavens were open, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And then a voice came from heaven. "You are my son, my beloved. With you, I am well pleased." May the Lord be well pleased with us also. Thanks be to God. There was a young son of a Baptist minister who was in a church one morning, and he was going to see his first baptism by immersion. He was so excited about it. So the next morning, he decided to try it out himself. And so, guess what he gathered together? Three cats. He put water in the bathtub. The youngest one, pretty gentle, not any problem. "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost." Took the cat out. The middle one, a little more frisky. Same thing. "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit." You can go now. The old tomcat wouldn't have any part of it. Clawing, scratching, and the little boy was determined that he was going to baptize that old tomcat. One point, the tomcat almost got out, and he grabbed him, still clawing and tearing at him. Finally, he said, "You know what? Here." And he put some water on him. He sent him on his way, and he said, "You can be a Presbyterian if you want to." It actually said Methodist, but I changed it to Presbyterian. Somehow I can see a few of the little ones I know doing that. "You are my son, the beloved." The story of Jesus' baptism is well known for marking the beginning of Christ's ministry. It's that transition that he makes from being a builder of wood to being a builder of reconciled and redeemed relationship. It really is God's love story in Christ. But the thing that's even more wonderful is that it is God's love story for us. I know you by name. You are mine, and I love you. It is a story about being bathed in the waters of baptism. I think it was a story that was very timely for John's audience. I think it is a story very timely for us. See if you can pick out some similarities. The first century, people thought that they were okay with God. After all, they were descendants of Abraham, so they had the inside track on this God thing. They were chosen to be God's own people, so they didn't have to really worry about much, did they? Well, John the Baptist comes along and he says, not so. You are living lives that displease God. And he told him, you know what, you better start worrying, because there are these tensions that are building up between God's people and the Romans. And God's people face possible destruction from the Roman Empire. He told them that they needed to prepare themselves for the coming of this crisis, and that they needed to get right with God. He pointed out their lack of generosity with the poor. He told them that God's righteousness demanded that if you had two coats, that you should be giving one of those coats away. And before my husband says anything, if you have more than two coats, you need to be putting them away. And that one's on me. John told them they needed to change their behavior. They needed to turn around. They needed to go a different way. The Greek or the Hebrew word for that is to shuv, to turn completely around. And he said, when you do that, God is going to forgive you. To symbolize that fresh start, John brought them to the banks of the Jordan River, where he baptized them with water, bathing away symbolically their old sinful ways of living and restoring them back to God's good creatures. Today we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, but there's something that's mysteriously missing, and if we aren't careful, we are going to skip right over it, and as a consequence, we run the risk of missing what Luke's take is on Jesus' baptism. You listen to the scripture. So a pop quiz. Who knows what's missing? In the story of Jesus' baptisms, verses 21 and 22, what's missing? If you read it again, Jesus isn't baptized. At least we don't get to hear about Jesus going in the water. We don't get to hear about Jesus coming out of the water. What Luke is concerned with is what happens after Jesus is baptized. You're like me. You automatically read that in there. But Luke has a different purpose. We seem to think that Luke is interested in what happens when the water dries up. What happens when those drops are gone? In our Reformed tradition, we see water baptism as a sign of God's love for us, of God's desire to forgive us, of God's seal and God's promise that through Abraham we have been blessed. But we have been blessed in order to be a blessing to others. Spiritual baptism refers to the work of the Holy Spirit, and it is a lifelong process that you and I go through It's about transforming. So, in a seashell, water baptism is the work of the church, symbolizing what God has already done for us in the waters of baptism, in the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. And spirit baptism is the work of the Holy Spirit on us and in us and among us, sanctifying us, setting us apart for God's holy purpose. It doesn't happen the same way or the same time with anybody. But it happens when we ask the Spirit to come upon us. There's a Facebook post that's circulating right now, and it goes like this. God is still writing your story. Quit trying to steal the pen. The process of the Holy Spirit making us holy and sanctified isn't that instantaneous kind of thing. You don't give your life to Christ and all of a sudden everything completely changes. You got to work at it, folks. And you work at it through studying Bible, through prayer, through being in a worship community, to having conversation all of the time with God. Spirit baptism is that lifelong process, but it begins in this wonderful bathing experience that we have. Even if Luke doesn't capture that snapshot of Jesus in the water, there's no doubt that, like this flowing stream, the symbolic waters of life took Jesus a place where people didn't really think he was going to go. He was the Messiah, the Son of God. Listening to the voice of God, strengthened by the Spirit that was still upon him, Jesus goes. He preaches to the poor. He eats with sinners. He shows hospitality to the down and out. He heals the sick. He cures the lame, the diseased, the demonized. He feeds the hungry. He comforts the sorrow. He saves the lost. Our own spiritual baptisms should be no less life-altering. That very same Spirit that rested upon Jesus is none other than the Spirit that rests upon us, reminding us that should we forget that we too have been bathed in the waters of baptism, we have been cleansed. We've been forgiven. It reminds us that when we begin to feel dry, that we are called to remember our baptisms. We are called to remember that we are God's beloved children. The waters of baptism are going to dry up on our foreheads, our heads, our bodies, however you are baptized. But the effects of those drops are meant to keep dripping. They're meant to place us in that stream of flowing water, following in God's footsteps, following in Christ's call on our lives. They're meant to comfort us when we ourselves feel like we are going through those waters of life that are in turmoil or the fires that are devastating. Those times when we think that we have no one or nothing else left. They're meant to remind us of the words of our Lord. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You're mine. Baptized in the waters, bathed in the waters, baptized by the Holy Spirit. It's God's love story for us. It is God's love story of restoration and hope and salvation for us. Today, We remember the baptism of our Lord. Today we are reminded what we are called to do when those drops of water dry up. I'm going to offer prayer. Once I am finished praying, I'm going to invite you into just a time of silent prayer, a time to remember your baptism. Or if you have not been baptized, if you have not had that experience of knowing what it means to have Jesus as Lord and Savior, I ask you to pray. Following the service, I will be at the end of the hallway. If anybody wants to come pray, if anybody wants to come talk, we will do so quietly. Let us pray. God of water and spirit, too often I take the gift of salvation for granted. So help me with the rising and the setting of each day to realize that I can live fully in your promise of peace amid all of the storms of life. And teach me to be grateful that you have promised that ultimate garden of peace when this life is over. I too often fail to understand the power and the responsibility of the waters of baptism. And so, Lord, I ask that you teach me to live as one whose sins have been bathed away, and then make me bold to share this powerful story of the cleansing water of baptism with others. And help me celebrate each day my baptism. And God, for those who have not been baptized, for those who don't know the joy of the Lord, give them now the courage to seek these healing waters, no matter what our age. And hear now our continued silent prayers. God, your voice is good. It is strong. It is faithful. Your voice is love. Your love brought this world to life, and it continues to call us out, bringing new hope and new life. We ask that you help us to listen for it, to hear it, and then to follow it above all the noise of our world that is so very loud right now. Your voice called out to Jesus, claiming him as your own and sending him out to embrace his mission. And so teach us to hear that same voice that is calling us to join in his transforming work in the world, preaching hope and joy, offering salvation and unending grace to all through him. Remind us that we, the faithful, need to be reminded of hope and joy and salvation, and we need to give thanks for this unconditional love through Christ. In the voices of children, the sick, the poor, the lost, the hopeless, the frightened, help us to respond as Christ did, with compassion and prayer, with hands and feet, and remind all of us that the resources in our day and time that we have been blessed in order that they can be blessings to others. For our friends in Christ, named and unnamed, whose lives are in the midst of fire and floods, we ask that you and we, for your sake, overwhelm them with the kind of love that helps drive away their fears, your love. And now hear our prayers as we pray the prayer our Lord taught us.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom
God tells us over and over and over to not be afraid. The gifts that we offer this morning are one way that we can say we trust in God and we will not fear. It's one way that we can let go of that feeling that we are independent and be reminded that we depend upon the grace of God. May we gather our gifts together and do it with gratitude to God.
I was there to hear your warning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you were baptized to see your life unfold. I was there when you were but a child with a face. In a blaze of light you wandered off to find where demons dwell. When you heard the wonder of the word, I was there to cheer you on. You were raised to praise the living Lord, to whom you now belong. If you find someone to share your time and you join your hearts as one, I'll be there to make your verses rhyme from dusk till rising sun. In the not too old, no longer young, I'll be there to guide you through the night, complete what I've begun. When the evening gently closes in and you shut your weary eyes, I'll be there with just one more surprise. I was there to hear your warning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you were baptized to see your life unfold.
Let us pray together. Give us
I'm going to invite you to be seated. The sacrament of baptism, God's Spirit has been poured out on the water. It's been poured out, immersing us, flowing over us, and all who receive this baptism live in the streams of God's power and justice and mercy. The water restores life, it nurtures growth, it offers new birth. Today we come to the water, if you so choose, in the silence of your own hearts, to renew your commitment to the one who created you, who created me out of absolutely nothing, who set us free, and who gave us eternal life. And so I ask you, will you turn away from the powers of sin and death? If you will, say, we will. Will you let the Spirit use you as messengers and ministers, declaring God's authority and God's glory? Will you proclaim the good news and live as disciples of Jesus Christ, his body on this earth? Will you be the living witnesses to the gospel individually and together, wherever you are and in all that you do? And will you receive and will you profess the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament? Let us pray. The Spirit of the Lord is with us. And Almighty God, the life that you birthed in us by baptism into Jesus Christ will never die. Your justice never fails. Your mercy is everlasting. Your healing river flows and your Spirit blows where you will. We can't stop you, God. But sometimes we try. We try to block the flow. We try to redirect the winds of the Spirit, or we walk so far away from that life-giving stream that we don't hear its sound. We forget its power, and we parch ourselves. We're dry and we're thirsty, O God. So come and refresh us. Come upon us, Holy Spirit, and take us to the waters where water drops become symbols of your mercy and your justice, your renewing of our lives through the resurrecting power of Jesus. And so now let us be renewed by God's Spirit as we reaffirm our baptismal covenant. Mighty God, you have known us to be in you. You have called us by name. You have washed us in the waters of baptism. And now you have renewed us again to return to our homes, our communities, our jobs, the invitation comes from the Lord, not from me. If you don't know the joy of the Lord in your life, if you have not been baptized, I would love to visit with you. Any of us would. But I will be at the end of the hallway. Whatever you want to talk about, whatever you need in prayer, I will be there. And now the love of God claimed you, the peace of Christ blesses you, the power of the Spirit will strengthen you today, this, and every day. And as you wish, as you will, make your way to the fonts, and the Lord goes before you.